Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and you are listening to Houston Wrestling Radio, probably the best podcast in all of Texas, and probably the only one I've ever heard of. So crank it up and enjoy.
Hey, this is Bret the Hitman Hart, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio.
Hey, this is the Innovator of Violence, Tommy Dreamer, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio, taking you to the extreme.
Hi, this is Booker T, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio. Now can you dig that, sucker?
From La Cocina Studios, this 161st edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Travis.
And thank you so much for joining us today, guys. We are an army of two today.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
yeah,
yes, yes.
Yeah, no, Chris.
Yeah, he found another muse this week.
Is it very amusing?
Yes. He's at a muse concert.
A muse concert, yes. Yeah.
Just trying to be clever there.
Do they even have anything good?
Yeah, they had that one song.
That one song?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that one song. Fine.
No, they had a couple good hits there. But yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, so yeah. Fuck Chris. There, yeah, first ding of the night. Woo!
All from you, buddy.
Yeah. Bada bing. All right, so, yeah, we're back to the original crew, just me and you. So, yeah, how's it going?
I apologize ahead of time for this show. we had a big break this past weekend. Thanksgiving. Did you partake in eating?
I did eat some food. Uh-huh. I tend to do that daily. Mm-hmm, I enjoy eating.
Yes.
Yes.
More so than
maybe a little more so than normal. Yeah, yes. A little bit extra food. You know, my mom has been having heart problems, so she can't eat regular different types of meat and stuff. So she's been relegated to just certain things. And one thing that my mom is really enjoying that's an alternative to beef. Is bison. She's been really enjoying it.
I thought you were going to say turducken.
No, not turducken.
Oh, okay.
Now, that would not be heart healthy. But apparently bison's supposed to be really heart healthy, and my dad got, like, a big tenderloin, it was huge.
Where do you buy bison at?
HEB.
Really?
Yeah, they got it from HEB.
The bison section of the meat section?
Yeah, yeah. And it was just this huge tenderloin that was almost this...
beef. Bison.
It was almost the size of a brisket, so that's how my dad decided to cook it, like a brisket. Salt, pepper, garlic, lemon pepper. Boom. There was our...
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving. So, how about you?
Lots of food. This is the first year I've actually had... I had 4 days off in a row.
Ooh.
We closed on Wednesday. Now, it was obviously closed on Thursday, but we were closed on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Wow.
So I did not want to go back to work on Monday.
I bet. But you got used to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I woke up instinctively at 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, jeez.
Sunday, the last day I had I had a chance to sleep in, I finally was able to sleep in until a whopping 10:30 in the morning. That's late for me.
That's pretty nice, though.
Granted. That's the whole irony of it. That was the very first time and was the last time.
Last time, because Monday came around.
Six
and then,
o'clock.
Yeah, back back at
that
it.
That is the big F you to my body. So, anyway. You said that you did something over the weekend.
Yeah.
What'd you do?
Over the weekend, after all the Thanksgiving stuff on, Thursday and Friday, Saturday went out to the Texas Renaissance Festival.
Oh.
Yeah.
The old Renfest.
The old Renfest, yep. Mm. And it
No, was... excuse me. Ye old.
Ye old. Yes.
Ye old Renfest.
Yes. It was fun.
Huzzah.
It was cool. Huzzah. As most trips to the Renfest are, I've been, the last about 4 or 5 years. Well, last 4 years, yeah. Because Randy's a big fan, so we wind up going together,
I must have lost my invite in the mail that you're going.
No, you got an invite. I told you we were going. I told you when we were recording last week. And that was exactly your reaction. You're like, I need to go, but I haven't been.
Was it in writing?
No.
It has to be in writing.
Oh, okay. An engraved invitation.
Dude, I blink my eyes and I forget stuff.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Old man Travis.
Yeah. What?
Get off my lawn.
go mow my lawn.
Now, I know Renfest isn't exactly wrestling related, you know, so I was expecting to be, you know, just having good old time away from the wrestling world, whatever, you know, because I always have my head in wrestling.
Get out.
So to speak, yeah. But we stumbled upon something that I think is kind of new at the Renfest. I've never seen it before. It could have been there in years previous, but I don't know. You know how they have, like, different little shows at different times in different areas of the...
No.
At different areas of the big old park of the kingdom, they have different stages and whatnot, and different shows happen during different times of the day. Well, we stumbled across one called Blunt Force Drama.
Mm-hmm.
And, we're like, okay, well, what is this? And I think it was advertised as, like, the most violent act or something in the Renfest or something silly like that. We're like, okay, well, we'll go check it out. And
I'm getting a doomsday sense already. But continue.
A little doomsday. A little bit. Not, I mean, not quite as cheesy and campy as doomsday.
I wouldn't expect
nothing
that.
Could be as campy as doomsday.
I was going to say as cheesy as it, but
right,
whatever.
Right, right. But it was still pretty cheesy. Now, I want to equate it a lot to wrestling, and being a wrestling fan, I was like, yeah, this seems pretty familiar, and I like it. The only thing, it wasn't, you know, grappling, you know, manhandles.
So jousting or
that.
Sparring? Or
it was more like weapons. They would have, like, a sword and a buckler, or a halberd, or just, like, a broadsword, or something like that. And they would, like, you know, whack each other, and they would have, like, taunting back and forth. Yeah, and, you know, before the match started, they would, you know, go back and forth and say stupid stuff to each other, cut a promo basically.
Right.
So it was kind of fun, and they had some volunteers, and I wound up being one of the volunteers to Randy and Porsche, just like pick him. So I was one of the judges on who gets to live and die.
Ah.
So it was pretty funny. But the guys were like characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was one guy that was just this Italian dude, and you know, he was just all, you know, ye ol' Italian, Guido'd out, you know, Christopher Columbus type thing. It was kind of funny. Yeah. And then there was, you know, this other guy that was the master of the thing, but he was German, and his
master of the thing.
Yeah, of the ceremony, I guess. Oh, I don't know. Okay. He was like the guy in charge. He was like the Triple H almost. But
the ringmaster.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was German, and his whole thing was that you gotta grab him by the crotch and throw him out the window. That was his shtick.
Wrestling 101, right there. And then, out, grab him by the crotch.
Grab him by the crotch, yeah. And then there was this like flamboyantly gay dude who was out in ye ol' garb, but it was all ye ol' pink tunic and stuff. It was hilarious.
Let me guess, and, you voted for him.
Oh, well, he kind of made me vote for him.
I bet he did.
Yeah, he ran over to me for comfort a couple of times, and it was there'll be pictures.
Did it move a little bit for you?
Maybe a little. Maybe just a, you know, that's it. Just a little bit. But it's funny, man. I know that was the last weekend of Renfest, and Renfest is over with, but wrestling stuff kind of related there.
Did you run into our friend Mandy from Caster Quest over there?
No, I did not. I didn't see her. I knew she was lurking somewhere in the park, but I never wound up finding her. Mm. You know, it wasn't the nicest day out there. It was almost rainy, and then, you know.
Well, yeah, the past like year and a half in this area of Texas has been sunny and nice Monday through Friday, Saturday and Sunday. Cloudy, rainy, smoggy, foggy, everything. Just nasty.
Mm-hmm. That's how the weekends have been. I don't know why, but yeah, this weekend was no different.
I blame the Pacific.
Yeah.
I blame California.
You blame the Pacific Rim?
Well, it's had a hard enough time with that movie, but anyway. All right, so
how about you? You got anything?
I can't compete with Blunt Force Drama. all I know is I enjoyed my 4 days off.
Oh, okay.
I actually, for the first time, I didn't do Black Friday shopping. I'm totally against that, but I kind of participated in that because I watched all the Brawl videos on Friday.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
There was quite a few to choose from. And there's Brawl fights in Walmart. Yeah. It's Walmart's time to shine, I tell you.
I mean, you want to bring back the hardcore title.
Right.
There you have it right there.
Right. I did go out on Saturday, though, and actually got a nice, what, 49-inch TV for $250.
Really?
Well, yes, sir.
You said Saturday, not Sunday?
Well, actually, it was Sunday. We went there Saturday.
So Small Business Saturday?
No, it's Target.
Oh, you.
Hey, you know what it's called? It's called credit, my friend.
Good credit. The white guy over here.
Yeah, so you get it. Yeah. Save me my 5%, did you? So anyway, yeah. I didn't have the card on Saturday, so I couldn't get it. So I went back on Sunday. Still got a good deal with the card, and yeah,
cool.
So not too exciting there, other than being able to sleep in. I was able to get a new episode of Pop Culture Rewind out.
Here comes the cheap plug.
Pop Culture Rewind. There you go. That's all I'm going to do on that one. All right. So. What else? What we got next year?
Well, we were talking about all this stuff, before or during the holiday. Well, right before the holiday was NXT.
Yes.
Did you watch it?
I did.
Ah, good.
I watched it on Wednesday, which was a long time from now.
Yeah, yes, that seems like a really long time ago, doesn't it? With the holiday.
Fortunately, we have notes.
Yay, notes.
So, what do you want to talk about first on NXT?
I want to talk about Joe.
All right, that's a good place to start. And you know what? Chris isn't here. Joe sucks.
Oh yeah, he's the worst.
The fat.
Yeah, out of shape vanilla midget. Not quite vanilla.
Caramel.
Yeah.
Right? No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, no, that was an awesome segment.
Yeah, that was
with.
Great.
It was your usual contract signing. There was a big match. It started off with a sour note. You see Michael Cole in the ring.
Yeah.
That's gonna play, a part in the whole rest of the show.
No, it does.
I'll get to that in here in a second. But basically, backstage, Regal, he underwent neck surgery.
Right.
He's okay. Went fine. That's good. So he was kind of filling in. He was kind of telling everybody how everything's going. That match between Bayley and Eva Marie was going to take place that night for the women's title. But first, they're going to do a contract signing. Insert eye roll, you know. Finn Balor comes out first.
Right.
And here's where it gets different. Interesting. He comes out, there's a mic and a table and everything ready to go for the usual let's go back and forth type thing.
And then the brawl. Afterwards.
And then the brawl, the typical stuff, right? So, Cole introduces Joe. Joe's music hits. Joe walks out, gets in the ring. Fowler picks up the mic. Joe signs his name, drops a pin, walks out. Like a boss.
I love this so much. Not only because it's a departure from what you normally see, but just because Joe is that much of a badass that he just gets away with that.
He ain't going to talk shit. He's going
to
do shit.
Yeah. He's just going to walk in there, sign it. All right, move on to the next. I don't care. No Fs were given.
And I love it, the fact that it was so out of place that happened, that Balor, holding his dick in his hand, the mic in his hand, next to Michael Cole, they're looking at each other like, what do we do? I guess I'll sign the contract. I don't know.
All right, fine. I'll sign my side.
But then, Balor left and you got to the entrance ramp. And that's when Joe came back out. And
yeah. Did that ruin it for you?
A little bit.
But I wish it would have just did it like that. With Joe walking away, that's it.
Me too.
Yeah.
But still, it was Joe. So
Yeah.
He gets a pass.
Well, it was enough of a difference to me that it was okay that him come back out now, have the brawl. All right, fine.
Yeah.
But it was just different enough where I was, that's cool.
Yeah. But the whole Michael Cole thing, we're going to get to here in just a second. But they finally got to the rematch between Dana and Asuka.
Yes.
Which turned out to be a non-match.
Right.
Because... this is very, in my mind, it was a very predictable booking on what they were planning because last week, when they tricked, I'm using air quotes, when they tricked Asuka into the rematch, she left and then Emma came in and she's like, did she fall for it? Yeah, she fell for it. Like, the camera's not there.
Yeah.
So this week starts up and, Dana's walking to the ring. She's talking on the mic as she's walking down, which I'm already thinking, okay, she's distracting her. Where's Emma? Sure enough. Hooded figure comes in from behind.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who?
Emma. Yeah.
And
attacks Asuka.
Right.
And Asuka fields the attack and actually fends her off and then turns her attention back to Dana. So not only fool me once, but fool me twice, because she beat down Emma kinda. Mm. Like, she didn't like demolish her. She's like fended her off. Yeah, whatever, get away.
Well, no, because she had Emma had her in her little submission lock or whatever it's called, the Emma lock, whatever.
But yeah, that was after she had already kind of beat her away.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Then she turned her back to Emma again and started paying attention to Dana again. And then that's when Emma came back around the second time and then beat her up. And I don't know, that felt a little wonky, a little clunky right there to me.
The only good thing I'm going to say about this is it is building a feud, which is the one thing that we said that NXT sucks at right now.
Yeah.
Although, hopefully there's a strong case for Joe Balor.
Yeah.
They planted some good seeds on that one. So, there's two good, possible good feuds coming out of the women's title situation and the NXT title situation.
Yeah.
So, but that didn't last long. That was just a, non-match, brawl type thing.
Yeah.
Then the next segment we have, there was also the Vaudevillains got the rematch. Against,
that was a decent little match.
It was. It's kind of short and kind of for a title rematch.
Yeah.
For the former champs to try to reclaim them. It seems like there wasn't a whole lot of, it didn't feel important.
Yeah.
It was like the second segment of the show. So it was just kind of thrown in between. Like, we just glossed over it.
Yeah.
So, do you have any thoughts about that? Or
Other than the match was all right. This week is kind of thin on Match of the Week candidates, so
Let's be honest. Vince and everybody knows. They know it's Thanksgiving weekend, so they're not going to throw everything out there.
Yeah.
But
For it being a thin week, sure, why not make that a candidate?
Oh, I'm not going to make that a candidate, no.
No?
No. Okay. But this is a very thin week.
Either way, it's not my pick.
No. Apollo Crews had a match.
Yeah.
Did you know his opponent? Jesse Swornson.
Yes, I recognized him. The dude that broke his neck on a pay-per-view in TNA.
Hometown boy from Katy.
Yep, from Katy, Texas. So that was cool seeing him. I had to explain to Randy who he was.
Yeah.
But, and that's exactly how I explained to her. You know, I was like, oh yeah, he broke his neck on TNA TV.
It's funny because...
Oh, and he's from Katy.
It's funny. I was watching with Nancy. I said the exact same thing.
Really?
I'm not even lying.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
No bullshit.
Right. Yeah, well, when I saw him, I marked out, and Randy's like, what?
What is this guy? I didn't mark out, I just told her.
You know, well, yeah.
Because you're, you know.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, all right.
He's a hometown dude. All
right, so we talked about it before. Michael Cole was there, a WWE guy, as opposed to NXT guy, right?
Right.
So throughout the show, there's backstage things with Eva.
Yeah.
Preparing air quotes for her match.
Yeah.
By resting in the GM's office.
Yeah.
Okay, so you want to go and get into this?
Yeah.
Main event?
All right. Let's do it.
So, before the match even starts, we have Charles Robinson, Little Nietzsche.
Yep.
Coming down, and the commentators, or I think they announced it, the commentators said it, that WWE Corporate has sent down the official referee to make sure there's no, for lack of a better word, shenanigans in this match.
Yeah.
The irony will ensue.
Yeah.
So that's one thing right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see Eva come out, and then she signals Nia Jax.
Yeah.
The bodyguard, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So she's got her protection in her corner. She's got the ref on her side, pretty much. And if you didn't know that was the case, about, a minute or two into the match, you'll see what side the referee is on.
Yeah.
So we have the referee, Nia Jax. Was another situation going on, too? I can't remember. I think it was just those two were the big ones.
I think that's all you really even needed.
Yeah.
Because between Nia Jax trying to interject herself into the match and the original referee getting knocked out and Lil Nate trying to, facilitate his way to ensuring that Eva Marie would win, like, it was all a little bit too obvious. And I really thought WWE got me. I really thought Bayley was going to lose the title to Eva Marie.
I was not too happy watching that match.
I was so ready to get so mad.
Yeah, I was too.
You know, but fortunately, Bayley, you know, overcame the odds, and she was able to actually pull out the win. But this brings up the question, how long is this going to continue to be a thing? Is this now going to be the next feud for Bayley? You know, Eva Marie, but it's not really Eva Marie. It's more like Bayley versus the world, or Bayley versus corporate, quote unquote. You know,
I think they're
going to go with that.
In my heart, I hope that this whole WWE corporate thing mm-hmm. is only for Eva. It's okay. Self-contained.
Yeah.
Because this is out of nowhere. This corporate nonsense, yeah. that we've never heard of that before.
Right.
Like, as far as them coming in NXT and controlling things. Yeah. It's always been its own thing.
Yeah.
And my biggest, I don't want to say fear, but one thing that I had visions in my head when I was watching this whole situation come about was, you know, talks of this being a new brand.
Yeah.
On TV. Like, it's going to be like, you know, here's Raw, here's NXT right next to it. Oh, and SmackDown.
oh, that little thing.
Yeah. And I was visioning that if that happens, that's what NXT is going to turn into. A lot of that BS that we got in that match.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, no.
You ain't going to be happy?
No. Because NXT is so different from WWE. That this whole episode felt like WWE Lite.
It feels like it's been almost a decade, maybe even more, where on WWE programming, it's the overarching narrative of everything is pretty much babyface versus the heel authority figure.
Yeah.
You know, before Triple H and Steph, it was People Power. Before that, right. It was Vicky. Mm-hmm. You know,
Eric Bischoff.
Yeah. And then before that, Vince.
Yeah.
It seems like it's always been like that. And that was something that was different in NXT, where you had Regal, who was, an authority figure, but he was fair and just. And
he stayed out of everything.
Yeah, yeah. He was pretty much just a matchmaker. Kind of like how Nigel, is in ROH. So, it makes sense, and it's kind of refreshing. But if they do start bringing in this whole heel authority figure to take out the baby faces. Ugh.
Yeah. I like I said, I hope it's not going to come to that, but I just got that thought in my mind when I was watching that. But that's what I'm saying. I'm hoping it's just contained to Eva herself.
Yeah.
You know, what's one way to get her over as a heel? Have her have to cheat or have to have the corporate the
backing
side.
Of
yeah,
that.
Yeah. So, thankfully, Bayley didn't lose. And Eva's not the champ right now.
It does make sense for Eva, though, with the whole Total Divas thing.
That is the one saving grace on that, is the commentators actually did their job, and they said,
yeah,
the star of Total Divas.
The star of Total Divas. She's, like even Bayley said it. Oh, well, she's not a wrestler.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bayley, she spoke the truth. She's like, well, she's not a wrestler. I might not be as hot as her or a supermodel or anything like that. Oh, no, that was perfect. You know, so that aspect of Eva Marie's character, I don't mind it.
Yeah, because that's like tailor-made for WWE, actually.
Yeah.
If you want to get down to it,
Yeah.
But anyway, I think that's... we just said that Bayley won that match. But then after the fact, Nia got in the ring.
Yeah.
She kind of beat down Bayley.
Yeah.
And then she grabbed her title and she...
You know. Which that makes me double think what we just talked about. Is this really going to be a whole thing for Eva? Or was Eva just a one-night thing, move on, now it's on to Nia Jax?
Dude, they can't be serious with Eva Marie as a serious contender for the title. That had to be a one-off thing.
Well, I guess so.
But now, see, Nia Jax, now I can see that more of a legitimate competition for Bayley. So I'm more intrigued by that, pairing, other than her and Eva. So.
Yeah.
But, it could be good. And if it leads to more matches and more just different, I don't want to say feuds, but, just different stuff for Bayley to do.
Yeah.
So it could be good. So,
yeah.
Anyway. So anything else from NXT?
Not really from the program itself, but there's a bit of news. We kind of mentioned it last week, about Solomon Crowe leaving.
That was last week, wasn't it?
We mentioned it on the show. I don't think we really got in depth to it. I pretty much just said that he was stupid and I didn't like him, and okay, he's gone. But I think I'm kind of in the minority on all this.
You think so? Well, I never cared too much for him either. But I guess fans of his through the indie scene as a Sami Callihan. Mm-hmm. They're actually, from what I was reading online, is apparently people were thinking that he was about to do some really good things on the indie scene when he got called up to NXT and he got sidled with that character, that gimmick, whatever.
Yeah.
So people are actually happy that he's not there anymore.
Yeah.
So he can go back to doing his original thing he was doing. So.
Yeah.
More power to him. I mean, if it's, you know, we've seen that before where indie guys will come into either NXT or WWE and they'll go back.
You know, one other indie guy I know this isn't NXT, but it's another little piece of news would be Brad Maddox. Did you hear about this?
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be Mad Braddox on the indie scene.
Are you serious? No, serious. I didn't hear about that. Do we talk about him getting fired?
No, we didn't talk about him getting released, but yeah, he got released a couple of weeks ago, and the news that came out this week is the name that he's going to go under, which is Mad Braddox.
No, what he needs to do is Mad Braddox.
Braddox, yeah. The Mad Ox Braddox. Oh, God. So, yeah, when I saw that, I chuckled, and I thought it was maybe a kayfabe news, but I saw it in multiple sources.
He got fired for cutting a promo at a house show. No, was it a house show, or was it a main event?
It was something unimportant.
Yeah, and he says he was talking about the hometown team, the football, whatever, and he says those cocky pricks. Is that what he says?
Something like that.
And that's what got him fired.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah. You can't say nothing nowadays.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah.
Anyway, so, yeah, that, I think it's gonna be it. Oh! I think I saw, yeah, this week on NXT, Samoa Joe versus Ciampa.
Really?
Ciampa, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, Ciampia.
Thanks, Regal.
Yeah. No, that should be pretty good. I look forward to that. So, yeah.
Yeah, that should be really good. So,
yeah.
Anyway, I guess before we take a break, we did post up a hashtag answer HWR on our Facebook page because there's a pretty big event coming up in the Houston area.
Yep.
We've been going there for a long time. Reality Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
They're about to celebrate their 10th year?
10th year anniversary. Yeah. Christmas Chaos.
Yes, sir.
And Chris posted up a picture on his Facebook page of, he still has his ticket from the first Christmas Chaos back in 2006.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. There's a lot of fond memories. And he threw up the answer HWR as being, what is your most fond memory from PWA/ROW history. So,
yeah, what's your most memorable moment?
Memorable moment, yeah.
Yeah, so let's take a look at this, shall we? Let's see what the people had to say. All right, so we have Travis Morrison. Hey, I like that guy's name. he was only able to go for a couple months, but standing and screaming back at Falaba was always a thrill.
Yeah.
So, and that's one thing.
That's kind of recent.
Yeah, and then besides that, then, you know, bringing in other guys from other promotions every once in a while. So that's always a good thing. Jeff Derrickson, I remember when Gustavo Mendoza fought Sean Daivari and I chanted communism at them. they gave me simultaneous crazy looks before they locked up. So, and a lot of these, since these are indie shows, you're getting more personable moments that only you can really relate to. But Christian Gary says that when they debuted on the Cube and then when they debuted on Channel 39 and announced the groundwork for the Rowdy Wrestling World Headquarters.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and that's going to be open.
That's going to be pretty soon. Yeah. You know, this show at the Clear Lake Rec Center in 2 weeks, this is going to be their last show
in
Clear Lake before they head on out to their big old performance center thing in Texas City.
And I don't know, for listeners who may be new or may not be from this area, mm-hmm. Reality Wrestling is owned and operated by Booker T.
Right.
It's hosted, you know, a few good standouts. You know, they got a pretty good roster right now. Mm-hmm. The Usos are probably most famously known from his camp. So
yeah.
I'm trying to think, those are the two biggest ones for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's been a few guys that made it to developmental, but
you
never saw him on TV. But
and our boy Brennan's there right now. Yeah, he's there right now, right?
Well no, he's still here. He's still here in Houston.
That's what I'm saying.
But yeah, he's training there.
Right,
we've got old Brennan Williams.
Mm-hmm. All right. Jason Cook. He says, anything with Lady Poison. Best character they ever had, in my opinion.
Ah.
Yeah. She was, I liked her, her get up and her makeup and... Yeah, her. Okay, so, our boy Iffy.
Iffy.
He says, me personally, the show tapings I attended to at Comp Palooza in 2014, which included the two Lockhart brothers dressed as the red and green Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. I guess that's what MMPR stands for. Ruthless Ryan Davidson making fun of fans dressed in cosplay, and Mysterious Q challenging Samoan Beast for the ROW Championship was the first ROW show I attended.
Ah.
Yeah, so that's the ones we got. As far as the comment, we had some likes and things like that too, but those are the comments that we had.
Do you have one, Trav?
Oh, geez. It's always fun heckling the wrestlers. Other the time that we, I want to say, was part of an angle.
Uh-huh.
But there was a podium set up, and Andrew Jackson was taking questions from the press.
Yeah, and we were the press.
We were the press, yes.
And that never made it to air.
Would have been nice if they used our footage, but hey, that's another story. But anyway, what about you, man? You've been there. You've been there almost since day one.
Since day one, yeah.
So, what do you think, man?
A little bit less self-serving, I suppose. I'll never forget when we all, this was at a point in time when all the fans were on their website, the PWA website, as a forum thing,
mm-hmm.
and we all go on there and like talk about stuff or whatever. Somehow, some way, we all coordinated it to where whenever Chris Adams, the Pride, would come out on this particular show, when he would get in the ring to do his pose after his entrance, we all coordinated it where we all threw pink streamers at him because we always called him Gay Pride.
Of course, naturally.
Naturally. Yeah. So he just gets in the ring, does his little pose, and then like dozens and dozens and dozens of pink streamers just flew above his head from all directions.
And it wasn't even October either.
Yeah. No, it was just us making fun of him and calling him gay. Yeah. You know, because Texas.
You know, you know, not one particular moment that I can think of, but actually, this might sound kind of weird, but I have more fond memories of when it was PWA.
Yeah.
I miss the elevated entrance ramp where they would come out a little, so they're a little bit above the, like the old WCW ramp, where it was just connected right to the ring there.
Yeah, it wasn't quite as elevated as all that. I think they just had a ramp.
No, it was elevated just a little bit. Anyway, at least that's what I remember it was. So, but they would also bring in like CM Punk and AJ Styles and man, there's so many of
RVD.
Them. Yeah, there were so many of them that you know, you go get your pictures taken with them and meet the wrestlers too. So, it was a little more. Was it? I don't want to say free balling, but but it was a good environment back in the PWA. So
yeah,
more free to do different things. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, that's our moments. It's too bad that Chris isn't here.
Yeah, right, I'm sure he'd have a moment. I mean, you talk about me being, you know, from day one. Chris was also from day one. So yeah. I'd like to hear his opinion on that, especially since he was the one that posted the freaking post. But he's not here. He had to go be amusing.
We've already done the pun, Abel.
No.
You've killed it.
Well, since I've already did two puns in a row, does that mean we should take a break?
Sure.
Unpun myself?
It's going to take more than a break for that, my friend.
Yeah, somebody get some forceps.
Oh, wrong show.
All right, guys, we'll be back. When we come back, we'll talk about WWE.
Ugh.
Main roster stuff.
This is Jeff.
This is Aaron.
And this is Deep in the Heart of Texas Podcast. If you like films that are full of blood, guts, and gore, and
whores, if you like boobs, if you like women, you like the Scream Queens, the Scream Kings,
Movie reviews,
and toys, and collectibles,
then look no further than this horror podcast.
Check us out on Facebook, social media sites, Podbean, iTunes.
Deep in the Heart of Texas.
Bring the whores, we'll bring the funny.
And we will keep it scary.
Hey everyone, check out our podcast, Pop Culture Rewind, where you can join myself, Xavier, and sometimes even Chris, as we talk about our favorite movies, TV shows, cartoons, music, video games, and much, much more. So always check us out at popculturerewind.com. You can find us on iTunes and the Stitcher Radio app. And always remember to pop your culture.
In a world where two friends...
This is Mandy.
And this is Aaron.
Two chick friends decide to have a podcast about geeky stuff.
Say something into the microphone, mother...
Join us for danger.
Ah, spiders!
Oh god, they're made out of metal and stone and they're the size of cartwheels.
It's on my face, struggling like Joffrey at a wedding and he's ripping at his throat. Babe, help me! And it's full of demons.
Romance.
There was this really hot chick down by the river and she took her clothes off and I had to have a tumble.
Asking the hard questions.
Why would they spend half a chapter talking about a rock that fell over?
This is CastroQuest, coming to the ESO Network.
This is an awesome story.
I know, right?
I can't wait to see it when it comes out on video.
Hey guys, this is Lisa Marie Barron, and you are listening to Houston Wrestling Radio. And if you are not, I am going to come through this speaker and widow's peek your butt.
All right, guys, and we are back. Thank you so much for sticking through the commercial break. We very much appreciate it. And if you could, you know, go on to all these other podcasts that we have, you know, commercials for, I'm sure they'd appreciate it. So, yeah, we got a little community.
Everybody appreciating everybody.
Yeah. Just one big circle jerk over here.
Ooh. Now you got my attention.
Oh, yeah. All right, well. Let's get into a little bit WWE talk.
If we must.
Okay. Well, I guess we should. Yeah. Let's see. Did you watch SmackDown?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, I did too.
Yeah. You mean 100% of the people in the room watched SmackDown? When was the last time that WWE could say that?
Yeah. Periscope viewers, did you watch SmackDown?
I bet no. They're intelligent, mindful people. They didn't watch SmackDown.
They know how to use the technology.
Yeah, and read results and not...
Yeah, and not worry about it.
Yeah, so...
Somebody said yes. Yay.
I'm sorry.
See?
Only Raw. Okay.
Only Raw. Yeah. All right.
You're good people. All right. But, no, SmackDown was for, of course, the Thanksgiving weekend. Yeah. Yeah, so...
So it was the Thanksgiving episode, pretty much.
You know, there's only two things that I'm going to take away from this episode of Thanksgiving... Or SmackDown.
The episode of Thanksgiving, you know, it comes once a year.
Yes. The New Day potluck.
Proceed, explain to the good people.
Do you want, need I say more? It's the New Day hosting a potluck lunch.
Yes.
Dinner or whatever the hell it was. But, and hilarity ensues.
Yes, it does.
And they were mindful enough to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the Gobbledygooker.
Yes.
So everybody wants to just, you know, talk about that little jabroni Undertaker, but nobody talks about the Gobbledygooker. So it was nice of them and considerate of them to, you know, let people remind that, you know, about that. So,
and dust off the old costume, which I'm sure stunk to high heaven.
Oh, I'm sure. It was a different costume, but anyway. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that was that. And then also, there was a really good match that came out of this, because they had a number one contenders match for the IC title.
Yes. Ambrose versus Tyler Breeze versus Dolph Ziggler. And I'm willing to give it match of the week candidacy. That's right now the front runner for my pick. Again, disclaimer, we're not talking about ROH.
We didn't say that first. We meant to say this.
Okay.
But we want to talk about ROH.
Right.
However, that other guy that's usually here.
That's not here today.
Chris.
Dick.
Yeah, bitch, whatever you want to call him.
Yeah, yeah.
Spoiler Joe. He really wanted to talk about the main event match.
Mm-hmm.
It was Lethal Strong Round 3.
Right.
All we're going to say right now, I believe he wants to say that's his match of the year pick.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're going to put a little pin on ROH this week, because I want to, I don't know about you, but I want to get his thoughts on ROH. So that's why we didn't talk about ROH.
He had such a hard-on for that match that we can't, in our own conscience, blow our load here talking about it without him.
Well, we could. It'd be fun, actually. And the next week when he comes in to talk about it, well, you know, screw you. We talked about it last week.
We already talked about it. It's not even a match of the year candidate. Whatever, move on.
we two gave a, you know, match of the weeks, but since you were here, so we can't nominate it as match of the year.
Sorry, oopsies.
So, anyway.
So, yeah. So, leaving ROH out of the conversation this week, Ambrose, Breeze, and Ziggler, that is a front runner for my pick.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm going to agree with you on that one, too. So... It was a damn good match. Well, look who's involved.
Yeah.
So it's
it's no surprise.
Yeah, with a number one contendership as well too. So, of course, like we said, Ambrose won. He's number one contender, and that of course carries over to Raw. So, what's your thoughts on Raw?
In general?
Sure. Why not?
I don't think it was that bad as people were making it out to be.
How bad were people making out to be?
I don't know. People were saying it was one of the worst Raws of the year.
Well,
I don't think it was like that. But then again, I've always been this big proponent of having this foreigner stable, and it's officially come together. So I'm a little, I'm a little happy about it.
All right. Okay. Man. Full disclosure here. I didn't watch Raw on Monday. What I did watch was through Hulu. Mm-hmm. We all know Hulu kind of sucks when it comes to Raw. So it, the rest of it, I did read, you know, results, live results as it was happening on Monday. So what I can gather, from just reading the results, this show was all over the place. There was like a lot of stuff going on, like just different things. Mm-hmm. Where do you want to start off first?
Well, since I already kind of got into it, I want to go into this League of Nations thing. Okay. I am really, really, really into this. I really like it. However, the one thing that's kind of thrown me off about it is Del Rio.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing. Reason why is that if this is totally icing all the stuff with Zeb and Swagger and they're just moving on and throwing him in this stable, then it kind of sucks. If they're going to incorporate Zeb into the storyline and Zeb is still going to be Del Rio's mouthpiece and hell, might be the mouthpiece for the entire stable, this could be freaking awesome.
I don't know. I don't know if we need him to be the mouthpiece for the whole stable. Matter of fact, I did want to point out one thing that I noticed happened on SmackDown that did carry over, very quietly, mind you. No one really talked about it. It's like it never even happened. Starting on this past SmackDown, there was no mention whatsoever of Mex America.
Okay, yeah.
None whatsoever. Yeah. Zeb still came out, but he didn't have the flag. He didn't have the little sign on the front of his little go-kart.
Well, he did have the sign that said hate-free zone.
Yeah, but that could be anything.
Right, it doesn't have to be
that specific thing. So, and that carried over to Raw, same thing. No mention whatsoever.
Right.
And I think that's why they... first of all, they killed it because no one was liking it. Secondly, it was probably to make room for him joining the stable.
Yeah.
So, ta-da.
Okay. So, my only question mark for the stable, basically, is Del Rio and how that relates to Zeb and everything. Because it seems as though Del Rio and Swagger are actually going to go out and have an all-out feud. But for continuity's sake, it's going to really bug me if they just drop it in favor of this other thing. If they incorporate it into this other thing, then I'm going to be good with it.
I think they're going to incorporate it because...
I hope, though.
Well,
I hope they do.
Well, not because of the whole Mex America thing, but because of Swagger. They had a match on SmackDown.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly how it ended, but I don't think it was finalized. I think there was some...
I don't remember exactly how it
ended. There might have been a Schmals ending or something for all. I can't remember. Yeah. But anyway, that could be a continuing thing. And that could be another person that Roman Reigns could recruit to maybe fight off the stable here.
Yeah.
So, where are we going with that?
I don't know. I was just talking about different points from Raw.
You know what? It was funny about the... when Sheamus was going over who's in the stable and this and that, he announced Barrett. He's representing the UK.
Right.
We have Del Rio representing Mexico. And then he says, my right-hand man, he puts his arm around Rusev.
Yep.
I could almost picture. See, they didn't even have him in the screen, but I can just picture a tear coming down Barrett's eye whenever he said Rusev was his right-hand man. Because they've been together, you know, longer than, you know, when King of the Ring and Money in the Bank, right?
They've been
together for the longest. So when he said it felt kind of out of place and a little mean-spirited.
Yeah, yeah. Barrett was standing there thinking, you better have two right hands.
Bitch. I actually heard one interesting fan theory.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt it's going to happen, but you never know. You have UK, you have, you have Mexico, you have Russia.
Bulgaria.
Russia, Bulgaria. We're American. It's all the same to us.
What a country.
Kevin Owens was visibly absent on Raw. It turns out he was sick or whatever, so they flew him home or whatever. But there was one fan theory that he was going to come out at the end of Raw and kind of join this group.
As the Canadian?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be...
Okay.
It'd be interesting. It would make the group more powerful.
Yeah.
And I think it would submit what you're saying is where it's not more of an authority thing, it's just a League of Nations thing.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Do you think between the Authority and the League of Nations and the New Day, there's too many heel factions?
Well, first of all, don't be throwing a New Day as a heel faction, just as willy-nilly.
Yeah.
There's something altogether different.
Okay, okay. Even though they're teaming up with the League of Nations,
Yeah.
Okay.
They're a group. They're friends. They're family.
Yeah.
They're commentators. They're moderators. They're party hosts. And they're musically inclined to entertain us.
Mm.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's more than just a heel group, a heel faction.
The New Day is more than just what meets the eye then.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
As long as getting everybody over, mm-hmm. as far as what you were just saying, all the different groups and everything. Whatever, as long as they can make it work.
Okay. How much of the New Day did we actually see on Raw?
A lot.
We saw a lot of the New Day.
They opened and closed Raw.
Did they get old?
No.
Are they going to get old anytime soon?
Eventually, everything gets old after a while.
Yeah.
But they're still, dude, I'm still loving everything they're doing right now. And it's not oversaturation either. So, that tag team match with Lucha and
Usos.
Oh, God.
The commentary from the New Day. Holy crap, dude. Oh, my God. looks like he's going to do an Irish rip.
Okay, let me ask you this. Quick, between us, quick answer HWR, who's better commentary, CM Punk, Primetime Players, or New Day?
New Day.
All right.
Well, that's a good one. We'll throw that out there to the listeners. See if anybody on Periscope could chime in on that.
Oh, Punk.
Oh, Bacon says CM Punk.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
No, the correct answer is there's no wrong answer. They all win.
Yeah.
Okay, so... Okay, we talked about New Day. Okay, so...
Porsche says New Day. Somebody else there says I'm going with Punk. Who is that someone else? Oh, Blitz Heartthrob. Okay, what's up, man? He's one of our guys that we met through WrestleThon, which we're going to be coming up on WrestleThon 3 here pretty soon. We got to get more info on that. Jake, get us more info.
He ain't listening.
Yeah, I know.
All right, so... okay, speaking of factions and stables and heels and things like that... looks like they're continuing the feud between the Dudleys and the Wyatts.
Yeah.
I
think you put it best when we were watching this and you said, oh, hey, look, it's a feud of jobbers.
Why does anybody care about this feud? Oh, maybe because everybody loses in this thing.
Yeah. Like, the reason why somebody cares is because for once one of these factions is going to win.
Double disqualification.
Ah, jeez.
Double count out.
Yeah, I mean, Dudley's, they're coming back to just lose, you know, and it seems that the Wyatts still think that they're powerful, even though after they lost to The Undertaker, which is exactly what happened after WrestleMania 31.
Right.
So it just, like, repeated itself twice in 1 year. Oh, we're so badass, we're going to take out Taker. Then you lose. Oh, well, Taker's hard, but we're so badasses anyway for trying. And that's happened twice! Twice this year, damn it!
It's like this. Like, whenever I said that the reason the Mexican America thing doesn't work is because it's like they're pretending. It's like they're playing make-believe. They're playing with forts and stuff like that. That's why that doesn't work. That's why the Wyatts don't work, because Bray just pretends that he doesn't lose.
Mm.
He pretends that he's unstoppable.
Right.
And unbeatable.
Yeah.
Which, it's the opposite. He's like, he's unlosable? Unwinnable? I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
So, anyway, getting back to this. The Dudleys, they were going to try to fight fire with fire and bring in another person to help them out.
Uh-huh.
So who do we get?
Spike Dudley?
Well, when they're talking about family, yeah, you would think, Spike, hey, yeah. Spike's coming back, Spike, right? Dudley. Cue up the music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it Spike?
No.
Oh. Was it Big Dudley?
No, he's dead.
Okay, what about Dances with Dudleys?
I think he's dead, too.
Sign Guy Dudley?
He's homeless.
Oh. Well, there's got to be another Dudley.
Dreamer Dudley?
Dreamer Dudley? I don't think there was a Dreamer Dudley.
Yeah, it's the one that went off and started his own indie promotion.
Oh.
And pretend like 1997 never died.
Oh.
Well, that one. You remember him?
Well, I think I know who you're talking about. You're talking about Tommy Dreamer?
That's it. That's the guy.
He's not a Dudley, damn it!
Oh, well. Well, they said family. What are you going to do?
Okay, so Dreamer got... Dreamer. Jesus. Okay, so Dreamer's out there. do you think that this was all just for the Pennsylvania pop? You know, the whole ECW chant and all that. Do you think that's all that's going to be? Or is Dreamer coming back for, like, SmackDown and, you know, Raw next week and all that?
Well, I would like to say yes. But my vision, my long-term vision here is thinking, no, it's going to be at least probably till TLC for some kind of big hardcore match.
Hmm.
My fear is this is going to go the way of what has been done several times in TNA and other indie feds have done this too. But we're going to have the Wyatts versus ECW.
No.
I bet you next week we're going to see Rob Van Dam.
Oh, okay. Okay. So then that way it's 4-on-4?
Yeah.
So RVD, Tommy Dreamer, and the Dudleys versus the Wyatts.
Right.
In a traditional 4-on-4 Survivor Series elimination style tag team match?
You know, it's funny you should say that. How bass-ackwards is this? Or how much of a slap in the face is this of WWE? They've booked not one, but two separate feuds with 4-on-4 people. The week after Survivor Series!
What the hell? Oh my god. Okay, so on Raw, we actually have a 4-on-4 feud match that makes sense, that could have actually been at Survivor Series as a 4-on-4 elimination style match, and it happens the week after.
Dicks.
Ugh.
They're messing with their heads, man.
I know.
That's what gives us a headache.
I know.
Makes you lose your hair.
Yeah.
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 So, anyway, other than that, are you looking forward to the feud? If it comes out to, like, some kind of big...
We're still talking about the Dudleys?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it still going to... If it culminates to TLC, hardcore match, whatever...
Well, if you're going to have tables with names written on them...
What did I say when we watched this?
Yeah, you said, where's the table that says Dixie?
Because I said at the start of this that something looks very familiar about all this. It's almost as if the tape was over the letters Dixie.
Yeah. Well, is Dixie, EC3, and Spud?
Something
was there
like
another
that.
Table?
I don't know. I don't care. It's DNA.
Yeah.
But it's like I've just seen all this, you know, and WWE pretending like this never happens.
What's terrible-er about all this is not only are they taking these things, which okay, there's plausible deniability that WWE doesn't know that TNA did this, but there is no plausible deniability on the behalf of the Dudleys. They're the ones who did the damn thing.
Vince is probably his idea.
Yeah.
Hey, so Vince, you know this thing that worked a few years ago. Hey.
Yeah, hey, I got a great idea. Oh, I've never seen that before. Right. Yeah, because you don't watch TNA yet.
No one else did either.
Yeah. Yeah. But what I want to get to here is that if they are, if they're going to do this and they're going to rehash some things from TNA, why not have it be the good thing about Bully? Bully became this totally different character, but instead he's out there with the glasses with the tape in the middle and he's still just the Dudley. You know, like, dude, if you're going to let him do things that worked in TNA, quote unquote, let him be Bully.
Right.
Get rid of the glasses with the tape. Get rid of the overalls with the camo on it. He can still team up with D-Von. Why the hell not? Still say, hey, get the tables. But let him be Bully. Have him come out with the chain. Have him do the 5150 stuff on the back of his vest or whatever. Have him look like a badass. When he was cutting that promo on Raw, he kind of borderline was starting to sound like a badass and not like, you know, just some Dudley little nerdy. We're going to get the tables, you know.
Dude, he hasn't done that.
Yeah. Well, I know, but it's still, that's what it's more reminiscent of. Like, move away from that and go more towards this badass stuff so that he actually did.
Visually, it threw you off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your mark mind was like having like a, you're crossing the streams up in your brain and you're like, what's going on? And you had an aneurysm.
Well, I don't think it was all that. Yeah. But yeah.
Well. Your vein popped out of your forehead when talking about it, so I just assume that's what happened.
Hell
no. Yeah. So, anyway.
Do you get my point? Or are you just going to sit here and mock me?
Both.
It's more fun to sit here and mock you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, let's talk about this real quick. Miz TV.
Yeah.
His guest was Rusev.
Yes.
And they started talking about Lana.
Yes.
And then what happened?
Lana came out.
Right.
They talked. They both, professed that, they did not go all the way with their respective boyfriend and girlfriends.
But you know what that means?
And that means they went all the way. Yes.
That means you bet your ass they went all the way.
And now they're together, they're married, and then they, made out, and hey, where's the cue? Hey, somebody cue up Ryback's music. We're making out here too much. Wait, no, should I stop making out?
Let him go for a little bit longer.
Yeah, and then finally Ryback's music cues, and they have a match that was a scheduled match anyway, so it wasn't surprising anybody. But then they have the match, and Rusev had to actually wrestle with all this secondhand lipstick.
Rusev crush.
Yeah.
That lipstick.
Rusev crushed something. Yeah.
Crush that ass. All right. So yeah, that was pretty much it. The return of Lana back in the suit and the heels and the hair. And...
Which good. Good for them.
Yeah. But does that mean Lana's a heel again? Because she didn't come out at the end of the show.
Right. She didn't come out with the whole League of Nations thing. Which, oh yeah, I guess that's another thing, kind of like with the Zeb and ADR. What's going to happen with Lana and Rusev? Is Lana still going to come out with Rusev? Is she part of the League of Nations?
I guess...
She could be the Russian that you were trying to talk about. She's Russian.
They already have Russian.
No. He's Bulgarian.
That's what I said, Russian.
No, it's...
I'm not understanding what you're
saying. They're different countries, Travis. It's like America and Puerto Rico. They're different countries.
I mean, the USA and Hawaii?
Yes. Oh, jeez.
All right. So, we had another pretty good match on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Not really a rematch for SmackDown, but we had the losers from... It was a match of the losers from SmackDown.
Yeah.
Breeze and Ziggler.
Yeah.
Breeze has only been on TV for a month, and he's already fought Ziggler, I think, every single week. I'm losing track how many times he's fought each other.
Yeah.
So, what'd you think of this match?
I liked it. I really, really, really liked the sequence that led to the finish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, the back and forth pins and you know, it seesawed for a long time, longer than, you know, you would normally see that seesaw spot. And then it just really abruptly ended, which I don't have a problem with that. It was just a super kick.
Don't say it was just a super kick, man.
It was just a super kick.
Super kick! Super kick!
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, well, even with the Young Bucks one, it's like, super kick, a super kick party. The reason why it's a super kick party is because it takes more than one to actually pin somebody nowadays. Like, I don't know, like, are we going to go back to Shawn Michaels style where a super kick ends a match?
You're just talking about, you know, in ROH, you know, super kicks are just
Well, even in WWE.
But, you know, people in ROH are indestructible.
Well,
you have to hit like 50 finishers before you pin them.
But even in WWE, you have to have... a super kick's not a finisher anymore. When's the last time you've seen any match end in a super kick?
It's more of a signature move now, I think.
Yeah, it is. That's my point. So it just ended on a signature move.
Yeah, but it's Breeze. Yeah. Well, no. Did you see the replay of that kick? That looked pretty vicious.
It was pretty good.
As they like to say, right on the button.
Yeah, right in the mush.
Yeah. But it was a good match, though. That's why I didn't mind the abruptness of the ending, because it looked so vicious on that replay.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a good scene. There was a move that you said that you liked that Breeze did.
They're booing you on Periscope, Travis, and I don't know why. I think it's because you went, it's Breeze.
Oh, yeah.
We got some Breeze marks out there, so yeah, be careful.
Bigger.
It was Bacon! It's not a guy.
All right.
And she said, yep.
All right.
We're having too much fun with Periscope today. Since there's only,
What do you say?
That was Porsche. What did you say? She said, "Geez."
No. And what does she know, anyways?
Anyway, well, as we were saying,
I don't know what were we saying.
I don't know. We were talking about.
Oh no, the move that Ziggler did, the side back breaker cracker thingamajiggy.
Oh, that Breeze did.
Yeah.
I liked
it. Talk about it. You said
no. It was a good move. I liked it, and I don't see why that could be one of his finishers or his
one
main,
of his finishers.
His main finisher, you know. I know he's trying to do the Unprettier, which is great. The only problem with the Unprettier,
it doesn't work if you're heel.
Yeah. I think. Well, we've only seen Tyler Breeze do it once, and hell, Christian only did it once, pretty much. Like, you never saw this move get pulled off. Like, the only move that doesn't get pulled off less than the Unprettier is Christopher Daniels' Angel's Wings. I swear, I've only seen Christopher Daniels do that move successfully once.
Or the BME.
No, he always does the BME.
No, but he doesn't hit it. The guy's rolled out and he lands on his feet.
Oh, well, I've seen that too, but with less consistency than the Angel's Wing.
Well, fuck that guy too. Any Daniels fans out there too?
they're all about to boo you right now. Look at that. Something about they have no idea. I don't know. They've been talking and we haven't been paying attention to them. Yeah. If you want to heckle us while we're recording, you could do so on Periscope. We need more hecklers than just Porsche and Bacon. So, yeah. Next week around this time, you know, Tuesday nights, look on our look on Periscope and get on there and heckle us.
Yeah.
Because Travis loves it. Apparently.
Yeah. All right. Goldust had a match with ADR. Yeah, okay. Let's see.
We're just going to move on from that. Goldust versus ADR. Whatever. Check.
Because I'm pretty sure that's how the match was booked on Raw.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. ADR, we need an opponent. Goldust, go out there, get killed. All right. So, okay, there's one interesting thing that I want to talk about. Charlotte and Becky.
Okay.
Becky pretty much begged for the match.
Right.
She wanted the spirit of competition to have some fun out there.
No fighting spirit.
Yeah, that thing. Because they're friends and buddies, right?
Right.
They want to have fun, right?
Yeah.
So she agrees. And what happens in the match, Abel?
Well, the match was decent, back and forth, nice stuff. You know, and Daddy Flair was out there too, mm-hmm. cheering on his little girl. And then Irish Rip to the corner. Charlotte tries to, you know, bounce out of it, and when she tries to jump back, She allegedly twists something in her leg, knee, ankle, something, and she starts selling it. And the ref pushes Becky back. Becky has a look of concern. Ric Flair tries to go up on the apron, also concerned. Becky,
Poppy Flair,
yes. and Bex goes over to Poppy Flair, like, hey, you know what happened? I didn't know what to do. And then that's when Baby Flair gets up and
El Nino Flair.
Oh yes. She actually does a nip up. Showing that, hey, there's nothing wrong with her leg, and gets the little schoolgirl 1-2-3 quick flash pin, woo, and then there you have it, much to Becky's dismay.
Yes, which that could be okay, a one-off thing, right? With them, with the whole,
because she's a Flair.
She's a Flair, dirtiest player. They even said in the commentary, dirtiest player
in the game.
Right.
And if anybody can still be a babyface while still doing major heel tactics, it's Flair. The only other person that could get away with that was Eddie and Flair. They're the only two that can still be baby faces that get away with heel tactics.
Well, Stone Cold.
Okay, maybe Stone Cold. Yeah.
Okay, but that's one thing. But how do you defend the backstage segment when Becky confronts her about it?
I think she was... She pretty much said, hey, look, this is how you win matches, and I didn't hurt you, I didn't cheat, it was just a strategy, and that's it, and we're still buds. I know Paige is trying to stir the pot over there. Mm-hmm. Paige is trying to cast that shadow of a doubt on there, but I don't know. I think she could maybe kind of sort of get away with being a babyface. I'll tell you what, though, she'll never get booed if she comes out with Poppy Flair.
Yeah. Okay, so... If this is the case, if this isn't just, you know, her being a Flair, which the problem I have with that is so out of character for her in the first place.
She's never done it.
Exactly. That's my concern. Mm-hmm. If she does turn, if this is a heel turn for her, the start of one, do you think it makes sense? Like, she's so, I don't want to say goody-goody, but she's been the store foundation of some of this stuff. And it just seems out of left field for this one.
I can't picture Charlotte as a heel, but I've never seen her as a heel, and she's a Flair.
NXT, boo.
Why was she? Oh, like way at the beginning.
Not even way at the beginning.
Yeah, well, no, that's when she was with the BFFs, right? Yeah, I forgot all about that.
Which, by the way, all the BFFs are on Raw now. They could they could reform that whole faction.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, damn, I forgot about all that.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm here.
Yeah. She was a damn good heel. That's what they're saying on Periscope.
Yeah. See?
She was a good heel.
Yeah.
Well, hell. Okay.
So,
see, in the BFFs, she kind of got lost in the shuffle, and I didn't ever distinctly...
Which is funny, because on that one, I believe it was Summer that left first.
Yeah, Summer was the one that was supposed to break out.
And then it was just Charlotte and Sasha.
Yeah, and then Sasha was more of a breakout.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, she was the heel because they split up, and it was that big feud.
Okay, maybe she can be a heel. You know what? I want to see what she could do as a heel by herself. Is that fair to say?
Sure.
Okay. After all, she's a Flair. Damn it. She should be able to.
Yeah.
Take after her Pappy Flair.
We should make a T-shirt about that or something.
Pappy Flair.
I'm your Pappy Flair.
Yes!
All right. Man, I was going to say something else about that. I totally forgot what I was going to say.
Okay, well, you want to talk about something really bad that was just terrible?
Go for it.
How about the Rosebush?
I didn't see it, so I didn't get to talk about it.
Oh, my God. Okay, it tried to be like this Entertainment Tonight meets The Soup kind of thing, where he was just, he being Adam Rose, was just in front of a green screen and was just like throwing shade on different wrestlers for stupid shit. And it was just bad. It was so bad. Like, I feel dirty. I feel like I need to take a shower just talking about it. Like, it was just, like, some of the stuff he was saying was very stupid. Like, why are you going to criticize about this stuff? Like, I don't know. Some of it was like the relationship stuff with Lana and Rusev and like, okay, fine, but they try to make it like National Enquirer dirt sheet kind of stuff. It was just stupid and dumb and bad.
I didn't see this, but you just talking about it makes me mad. Like, someone needs to get their ass whipped.
Yeah.
You know, like, whoever came up with that, just go kick his ass.
Yeah.
You know?
I wonder who that'd be.
I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe Kevin Dunn?
Oh, well.
You think that was a good idea for that, Kevin Dunn?
Well, yeah, I thought it was a good idea. I mean, yeah. You know, it's a Hollywood type thing.
Are you gonna be pushing this to
we're gonna shove it down your throat until you like it.
Oh,
bitch.
Okay. Well, it's
how we do things around here.
It might take a while because it was pretty bad.
Yeah. Well, you know, you eat it all up whenever we tell you to eat it up.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're not wrong, but I mean, it's just you know, you don't think this is it's too bad to continue. I mean, it's Adam Rose. I mean,
shut up, Mark. You're going to be buying his T-shirt within a week. I guarantee it.
Well, that might be the case too.
Yeah, we just slap something. Rosebud, get it? It's funny. It's a pun, kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you're going to like it.
It's
yeah.
You know what you could do?
What?
You could incorporate GTV in this thing too. You know.
Yeah, I didn't think of that.
Yeah, see?
That's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
But see, that's kind of what we have Miz TV for nowadays, you know? But,
you know, it's funny because when I first heard about what Rosebush was... Rosebush. When I first heard about that was...
Get it? Bush.
You came up with that yourself,
yeah,
didn't you?
I did. Yeah.
So,
like the Bush.
But it sounds very similar to Miz TV.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
well, I mean, how is this different from Miz TV?
Well, it's different because it's not similar at all.
Okay.
Miz TV, you know, you gotta... You know, a sports entertainer in the ring, you know, with other sports entertainers interviewing.
Yeah.
This is different. This is art. This is what they do in Hollywood.
Oh.
You know, Entertainment Tonight, all that classy stuff.
Well, you're from Hollywood, right?
Yeah, Hollywood. Hollywood all the way through.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I don't get that vibe from you.
No, I go to all the red carpets.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all the red drapes. Yeah, you know, because they match.
Yeah. All red everything, right?
Oh, yeah. See, that's why we're putting her over.
Don't tell me twice.
Before you know it, all the revenue from NXT is going back into my pocketbook, too.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
I'm going to be directing that shit, too.
Yeah.
It's going to be good. Yeah. I'm Kevin Dunn.
Oh, wow. That was a nice visit by Kevin Dunn there. Wow. You know, it's funny. He just comes in at the oddest moments.
Yeah, you know, he just, you know, has us on speed dial or something.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, I need to change my locks in this house.
Yeah.
All right. Wasn't there something else too with Stardust?
He
got interrupted by Titus again.
Again, and Titus kind of annoyed him a little, and that was funny. It's still kind of visually a clash for me. But hey, at least it's something to do for Titus. You know, I felt like the primetime players were really going to get somewhere with that push that they were kind of receiving, that New Day kind of usurped out from underneath them. You know, primetime players got out primetime played by the New Day.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the New Day is exactly what the primetime players were kind of sort of trying to do, but they're only turned up to 9. Whereas New Day took that and turned it up to 11 and left primetime players in the dust.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. My thing is, the whole thing with Titus literally being inserted into Stardust's program.
Yeah.
Or interview thing, whatever, is it's forced because, it feels forced because of Cesaro.
Yeah.
Because I think that's where they were going
Cesaro's
with that.
Injury.
My issue with that is, you have Stardust looking for an opponent, and you have Goldust, who just returned.
Who's jobbing to ADR.
Surely there's some kind of connection we can come up with.
Yeah, somehow. That's gotta...
See, if Kevin Dunn wasn't so concerned about all red everything, and Rose, and bushes, and everything else, maybe something would get done around this motherfucker. All right.
Done. So, get it?
All right.
What else we got?
Let's see. Oh, do you want to? We talked about League of Nations and everything, but there was a kind of a big stipulation for the main event, which happened.
Wasn't the main event?
Right.
It was an hour two main event.
Yeah.
Sheamus versus Reigns in a beat the clock challenge for 5 minutes and 15 seconds.
Yeah, because that's how long
Reigns' title reign was.
Right. Yeah. So at least it all kind of tied in together in that one. There's some kind of continuity in that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, as they like to say, they stole your word. They said the caveat of this is if Reigns loses, or if it doesn't beat him in 5:50,
5:15.
then not only does he lose his title shot at TLC, Ambrose loses his title shot against Owens, and the Usos lose their match, their title shot against the New Day.
And the Dragons.
At TLC. So, gee, I wonder who's going to win this match.
Roman Reigns? Yes,
spoiler alert, Reigns won.
Yeah, but by disqualification, which, okay, I get this whole League of Nations thing. They're
because
trying
that's
to,
when they debuted the whole thing.
Yeah, this is when they're trying to usher it in and get us to be like, oh, hey, this is a thing now. You would think that if they were really trying to help Sheamus, and if they were really on the side of the authority, which I guess this solidifies that they're not, they wouldn't have interfered and they would have let the clock expire. Mm-hmm. They would have somehow helped Sheamus play defense and not just go in there and get Sheamus a loss.
Right.
You know, and have, you know, Roman actually win and thus keep his title shot, keep Ambrose's title shot, and the Usos' title shot. Mm-hmm. Like, if they really wanted to be heels about it, they could have, you know, somehow facilitated it to where they went and gotten disqualified blatantly,
right,
where it would have been enough to run out the clock. Because there was, like, what, less than 40 seconds or something?
Yeah, he was gearing up for the punch, yeah.
Yeah, so there was still, like, it's still a short enough amount of time where they would have been able to, like, interfere somehow without actually causing the DQ and letting the time expire.
Right, yeah. But they're stupid heels. They don't know what they're doing.
Right.
Bunch of foreigners.
Yeah. And it's still the same type of thing that you would expect to see. Like, oh, okay, well, because of the stipulation, you know that Roman's going to win. But since the title is on the line, you know Sheamus is going to keep this title. Okay, well, there's going to be a DQ. Like, it's so predictable, you know?
Yeah.
And there is something that Foley, you know, posted up this week on his Facebook page, and Foley has become quite outspoken about stuff.
Yeah.
I think you paid a little bit better attention to the post. I skimmed most of it, but you actually read the whole thing.
Yeah. Proving that I can read, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was basically, you know, like you said, Foley's been kind of known lately to, voice his opinion on the product, good or bad. Right. Which, other wrestlers do it too, like Stone Cold does it, Jericho does it, Taz does it, but Stone Cold is a little more opinionated.
Diplomatic?
No. If there's something wrong, he tells it like it is on the show. But Foley's on Facebook, more accessible to people, so more people are going to see it.
Yeah.
So he's basically saying that there's a lack of freedom with the wrestlers and doing promos and... just, you know, everybody's kind of afraid to kind of shake the boat a little bit. Rock the boat, whatever. So, and there's some truth to that, you know, I would imagine. But I don't work there, so I don't know for sure. But I would like to think that it's true. But anyway, he was saying that this might be his last time he's gonna watch Raw or watch the product. But apparently he still is.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because he's a fan, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess it's the equivalent of us, like, getting pissed off after something happens and saying, I'm never going to watch this again. Next day you're watching Raw.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Chris.
Oh, God. How many times has he given up?
I'm done. He's never done. He's Chris. That's what Bacon just said. Yeah, he's Chris. Foley is Chris.
Oh, God. Don't insult Foley like that.
Yeah. Don't compliment Chris like that.
Yeah. But that was pretty much it. Like, the main event was the heels coming out on top. Sheamus, you know, and his crew.
Which includes a New Day.
Coincidence?
Eh?
I think not.
Oh, why is that?
New Day doesn't lose.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because New Day rocks?
There you go. Yeah, see? But,
What I found peculiar, well, maybe not peculiar, but noteworthy about it, is that the League of Nations stood tall, and Sheamus stood tall twice.
Mm-hmm.
After the match, and then, you know, Rusev was kind of kicking away at Ambrose, and that's when Roman ran back in there to try to break it up and, you know, save Ambrose. And then they started beating up on Roman Reigns again. And so that after they had already posed and raised their hand and hit Sheamus' music, that stuff happened. They beat Roman down again and then hold up their hands and hit Sheamus' music again. So, wow, they stood tall twice.
You know what that means?
That means they're getting over.
No.
Or getting pushed.
That means they're going to get their asses kicked twice as hard at the pay-per-view.
Oh.
They're going to lose twice. Yeah. They're going to lose once. Thorny's going to come out and say, restart the match, and they're going to lose again.
I wouldn't, well, I don't think that's going to happen, but yeah. They're probably going to get their butt kicked pretty hard.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, it's a brand new stable, something new that they're trying out. I don't know. They might go over.
Does that mean New Day's part of the stable, too?
Well, I think I tried to argue about this when we first started the podcast. I don't think New Day's in it, but they're so closely related to it now. Like, they're sucking up to Sheamus, and...
They're just trying to get on the bandwagon, whatever is going to get them over.
Yeah. Well, either that, or they're trying to kiss up to the champ, because weren't they trying to do the same thing to Rollins?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
All it is, you know, with the storyline and the roster, it's just... Going back to what Foley said, nothing changes or anything. It's all static, you know, status quo.
Yeah.
So basically, you take out Rollins, insert Sheamus,
continue moving along. Yeah.
Anyway.
New Day doesn't need this. They just need the trombone. So says Periscope viewer right there.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. All right. Is there anything else that we have for tonight? Is there anything that we missed? Periscope viewers, is there anything that we missed? Or are we... Are we done for the day?
This isn't a WWE audience. They're not going to take over the show.
I'm just letting some interaction in.
No interaction.
No? None?
No. Goodbye, everybody.
Old man Travis over here doesn't want to...
Get off my table.
Did I miss NXT? Yes, you did miss our NXT talk.
Yes, that was the first part of the show.
Yeah. All right, well then I guess that's it. Unless you want to talk about NXT all over again just for Bacon.
Why is Bacon missing the show?
I don't know. What's wrong with you, Bacon? And she just put a little emoji.
She hung up.
Oh. All right. Well, then, yeah, I guess we're done since we can't think of anything else.
No, I'm going back to
here we go.
No, seriously. Going back to our Charlotte Becky talk.
Mm-hmm.
My thought on that, if that was a start of a heel or her turning, like her doing a heelish thing to win, I thought that was a wasted motion on this match. This is a non-title match.
Okay.
So I was thinking what should have happened. If they're going to do this, they should have Becky win this match.
Mm.
Clean, non-title, right? That would stir things up for Charlotte to have more motivation to cheat, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then maybe have a rematch at TLC, and that's when maybe
she has to cheat to win.
And that's when you do the spot they did on Raw.
Yeah.
Mm. But it just seemed kind of... That's what I'm saying, going back to it was like it came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like it didn't make any sense. So,
maybe it was the only time that they could have had Poppy Flair out there.
Yeah, maybe.
Poppy Flair. Space Mountain, woo! Oh, now into Poppy Flair.
Oh, no.
Be using that Space Mountain too much. Now you a daddy.
I think on that note, we're going to call it a show.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, on that note, ding, yeah, let's get out of here. All right, thank you so much for joining us today, however you downloaded us. If you're on Periscope, thank you so much. Adios, my friends. Keep it classy.
Toodles.
See, you don't have to say that. Chris isn't here. You do your own thing.
I don't want to.
Say pop your culture or something.
Booty!
Bye. Oh, jeez.
You know what I was going to say? You know what? I forgot
what am I going to do with these guys?
I was going to say something about another thing about SmackDown.
What? Another thing about... Oh, okay. We already stopped recording yet? No? Okay.
No, this could be B-roll.
Oh, B-roll. Okay.
No. There was the thing with Usos. They tricked New Day, and it was one of the Usos dressed up as the Gobbledygooker.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, okay. That was funny.
And then the other Uso brought out Xavier, and he's all tied up and everything.
Yeah.
Dude. His hands were tied, but he couldn't rip it. Like, he still had the tape on his mouth. Like, but his hands were tied frontward, you know?
Yeah.
It didn't make any sense to me.
Oh, so you could have gotten out?
I didn't say cutting, but, like, his tape, like, he could just, like, take the tape off and start yelling something or something. I don't know. This is what is B-roll, not part of the show. Goodbye, everybody.
Damn. Audio lag. Oh, boo, audio lag. Okay, well, that's that.
It's because you put my face to him.
So. Yeah, yes.
All right.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Well, or happy Thanksgiving?
Huh? No,
whatever. Bye.